Technorama episode 481. Last stop before Dragon Con.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm in need of a scientist that can make a self-driving podcast.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. I am your host, Chuck Tomasi. If you are joining us for the first time, welcome to the show. You may be surprised. You may learn something. You may be stunned and silenced. We don't know what will happen because we don't even know.
You may be scarred for life.
Scarred, yeah.
Or scared. Depending on how you pronounce it.
Scared. Or sacred. And joining me right across the... No, that's the other podcast. Joining me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm actually all of the above. I'm scared, sacred, and what was the other one?
Scarred.
Scarred.
That's scarred, is it? Yeah, that's it.
Also joining us in the binary studio this week are the two gay geeks,
Ben and Keith, hiding behind the microphone over here.
Keith is doing, and the good news is we've got all the cameras working.
Yay! So,
woohoo! Keith is the brave soul that's taken charge of the new video machine. So there's been many a tweaks made in the last few days to get this up and running. It's always a grand experiment when something in the studio changes. You guys know how it is.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Mixer, you get a new microphone. You get a new...
It just melts down. Or a new DR40.
A new DR40 for Comic-Con.
Or new mics for Comic-Con.
All bets are off at that point.
Or $300 worth of tech that doesn't work.
I think you just need to apply for a line of credit at Best Buy.
I think I need to patent a term like the Technorama effect or something.
Yeah.
We can just generalize and call it the podcast effect.
Yep.
That works for me too.
It's drama, always.
It's always drama. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Coming up in this episode, we have self-driving cars, NASA is outsourcing more stuff, and apologies all around.
Uh-oh.
Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeland Security replacing color-coded system. This is Technorama News. I'm Jackie Dernay, filling in for Chip Querty, who is doing a report on Justin Bieber's haircut. The Wall Street Journal reported this week that Homeland Security is going to do away with the color-coded terrorist threat system. We have this clip.
19 minutes in front of the hour now on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Time for America's First News. Here's Gina Cervetti.
Good morning. That color-coded terror threat system, which assesses the threat with colors from green to red, is going away soon. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano was expected to make the official announcement today, with the phase-out of the system starting this week, and by the end of April, it going away. A new, more specific system is coming.
Technorama news sources tell us that they need a new, more specific color-coded system because five colors wasn't enough to truly convey the threat level. The new system will involve RGB hex values. This way, people will know that 2F4F2F is a better state of green security than CAFF70. I think. Jackie Thurday, Technorama News.
Hi, my name is Dean. I'm nobody special. I'm nobody important. But you are still listening to Technorama.
Hey, I disagree. He is somebody important.
And he's special.
Yes, right.
He's a Dog Days podcaster now.
Hey, he's special.
Hey, be careful with that term, how you throw that around. We have feedback from Dean, as a matter of fact. That was coincidental. I had not planned that intentionally.
Sure. Really?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I was thinking, hey, Dog Days, let's throw him in here. I forgot. He made us a promo or a little audio clip years and years ago. Feedback from Dean Jensen says, hi, guys. You can imagine the voice you just heard instead of mine at this point. We talked about Oregon Trail. Remember that game? The only way there, I don't think anybody won. I think everybody died of dysentery.
Well, that's what I was saying. Yeah. You know, I commented during one of your shows, because you had made the mention, what would you get if you took like Cards Against Humanity and mixed it with the Oregon Trail? And you get the Donner Party.
Yeah.
Actually, I think the way to win is to prolong your dysentery.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ew.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
The winner gets a bottle of kale pectate, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
It says, hi, guys. My first introduction to Oregon Trail was on the MECC teletype computer. Anybody? MECC?
No. Huh?
Nope.
The Minnesota Education Computing Consortium.
Oh, wow.
That's the first time in school I learned about the word consortium.
Of course.
That sounds important.
Of course, Jim.
On a teletype computer. His is a little other. We would log into MECC with a 300 watt acoustic coupler.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try finding a handset with round earpiece. And
yeah. Today, I know.
Not even pay for it.
How does that sound somewhere?
By the way, I love hearing Ben nailed out down. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
The computer would save your work to ticker tape.
Oh, wow. Did that. We had that on our Nova mainframe in high school.
Guess you had a ticker tape parade then, right?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. He's got some links in here. Everything was text prompt. To hunt, you had to type bang. If you did not type fast enough, you missed. And I laugh now at fast enough because it was over a 300 baud modem.
Exactly. Yeah, right. But you could not type fast on those daggum things.
No. Oh, how I wish I kept one of the printouts from then. Maybe there is one in my old Apple IIc box. Hey, I can play it on that Apple IIe right over there behind
probably
Key.
Probably could.
Oh. I have a box of floppy disks in the closet over here. Let's say we look through all 400 of them and no.
Yeah. Make a party out of it.
That's a podcast in itself.
We did have a party one time. We threw up Robot War. At Thanksgiving, when my buddy Scott and I, kids, that's where we started programming robots, and his kids loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, you guys used to think this was cool. They just couldn't grasp it. But the comments were great. You know, we had developed, created, and coded by Charles William Tomasi. We thought that was important enough that there might be another person programming a robot with our name.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much, Dean. Oh, we forgot the music, so we'll just play the ending from our listener, Dave.
Another letter from our listener, Dave.
Sorry to deny you the singing moment there, man.
Dang it.
Maybe we'll do that in the after show.
Yes.
Only the patrons.
And I had sounds I forgot about.
Then we'll do the history thing. Shall we roll?
Hey, might as well.
I've got
two D20s now. Oh, and Keith can play along. Craig, you got anything to roll?
I got a one.
You brought your D20 on your trip?
I got an 8.
I got a 17. Yeah. And Keith gets... an 8?
6.
A 6? Okay, now we got to figure out how this goes.
You said you had 17.
I had 17, so I'll go first.
Then I had an 8.
Then you.
Then me. Then Keith. Then Keith. Then Craig.
Okay, oh, this crap.
I got to rock. Okay.
So it's sort of...
He's got to run the video.
No, it is sort of... Oh, so if we assume that Craig is in that monitor all the time, then it becomes... Then
circular.
It's not...
Well,
not quite.
Not quite. Sort of, kind of.
Well, use his monitor for Craig.
Yeah, there we go.
We need a proxy Craig.
There we go.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you get a stick
proxy
figure,
Craig. There's a, I don't know. It sounds like a medicine.
Don't mix it with.
Do
eyes
you
or
have?
All.
Do you have that uncomfortable time of the month? Try proxy, Craig.
See your doctor if you're already taking eyes or all.
Oh boy!
I sense a skit.
Start talking already.
Yeah, let's go. On this day in history for August 24, 2016, this is the 237th day in the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 129 days remaining in 2016. It was on this date in 79 AD, I presume, Mount Vesuvius erupts. The cities of Pompeii, Herculaneum, and Stabiae are buried in volcanic ash. Note, this traditional date has been challenged, and many scholars believe that the event occurred October 24th.
Huh. Mm. You have to pardon me. I have to adjust my glasses. I brought the wrong glasses for the show, so if I look silly, please forgive me. Looks like the graffito of Esmet Akam. I'm having a really hard time with these glasses.
I'm having a hard time, but I can read it.
Yeah. The last known inscription in Egyptian hieroglyphs was written 1,622 years ago today. Oh, that was painful.
Holy moly. Wow. Let's see. Wrong camera.
There we go. Nobody's there.
There's nobody there. The printing of the Gutenberg Bible is completed on this date in 1456.
You just don't rid of a Gutenberg discreetly.
You can ship it now.
Is it my turn now?
Yes.
Okay, William Penn receives the area that is now known as the state of Delaware and adds it to his colony of Pennsylvania 334 years ago today.
Sounds like he was playing Monopoly.
Yeah.
He adds Delaware to Pennsylvania.
He adds it to his
they're not even the same color.
Yeah, they're not the same color.
Pennsylvania's green and Delaware's blue.
True nerd. 141 years ago today, Captain Matthew Webb became the first person to swim the English Channel.
And it was 125 years ago today that Thomas Edison patents the motion picture camera.
Wow, far out. It was the same date in 1909, workers started pouring concrete for the Panama Canal.
Woohoo!
Amelia Earhart becomes the first woman to fly across the United States nonstop from Los Angeles to Newark, New Jersey, 84 years ago today.
It was aiming for New York.
Yeah.
Oops. August 24th, 1967, led by Abby Hoffman, the Youth International Party temporarily disrupts trading at the New York Stock Exchange by throwing dollar bills from the viewing gallery, causing trading to cease as brokers scramble to grab them.
Yeah, 1964, a dollar was worth more than a dollar.
Yeah. Mark David Chapman is sentenced to 20 years to life in prison for murdering John... Oh, give me the depressing one. Yeah, 35 years ago today.
Imagine all the people.
It was 27 years ago today that Cincinnati Reds manager Pete Rose is banned from baseball for gambling Commissioner A. Bartlett Giamatti.
So this is like just doom and gloom depressing.
Wow. Don't you feel old now? That seems like it was yesterday.
Oh, my Lord, this one.
Craig, go!
I was going to say, hey, by the way, what's sad is seeing him signing autographs in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
Microsoft Windows 95 was released to the public in North America on this date in 1995.
Wow. More depressing news.
More depressing news.
Yeah. In the same sense.
Hugely anticipated.
Yeah.
The Rolling Stones will never be the same.
No.
That same date in 1998. Stop moving your cursor around. You're flagging out the text. First radio frequency identification, RFID, human implantation tested in the United Kingdom.
And it was 10 years ago today that the International Astronomical Union, IAU, redefines the... Craig,
stop that! Messing with the text. I'm going to delete your account.
No kidding. Redefines the term planet such that Pluto is now considered a dwarf planet.
We got a depressing one today.
Man, this is bleak. I'm really sad.
We're all there when we talk to the guy about it.
Yeah. All right. Maybe some birthdays will cheer us up, Keith.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to Danish horticulturalist and astronomer Sophia Brahe, born on this date in 1556. Did she?
She was the sister of Tycho Brahe.
Brahe, not Bra.
Yeah.
There we go.
Brahe. Also born on the same date in 1880, Joshua Lionel Cohen, American businessman and co-founder of the Lionel Corporation.
The train people, I guess.
Yeah.
Right, the train, I assume, yeah.
Welsh co-founder of the Martin Baker Aircraft Company, Valentin Baker, was born today in 1888.
And born August 24th, 1902, Carlo Gambino, Italian-American mob boss.
Okay, I'm struggling here. One of our favorite actors, W. Morgan Shepherd, is 84.
Really nice guy, too.
Yeah, he sends Kirk to Rurapente. How nice can he? No, he was the guard keeper at Rurapente. Yeah. Sorry.
Really nice.
Actually, I almost don't want to read this one too much.
It's too new. Yeah, it's exactly. Too new, Roy.
Yeah, it's too new. The man in the R2-D2 costume, Kenny Baker, would have been 82 today.
Yeah.
Hmm.
American physicist and academic Arthur B.C. Walker Jr. was born this date in 1936.
Gregory Jarvis, American captain, engineer, and astronaut, was born August 24th, 1944.
Tim D. White, American paleoanthropologist and academic.
Very good.
Tim D. White is 60... What?
No, it blows it on the 66.
Tim D. White.
That's
American paleoanthropologist and academic Tim D. White is 66.
So wait a minute. That's what it says. It's so important that you got to say his name twice.
Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman.
Exactly. He's like New York, New York.
I'll take full credit for that.
Yeah, a beloved American actor and producer. Steve Guttenberg is 58 today.
I don't see beloved written in there. You made that up.
He made that Bible they finished.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Wow. He's finally getting his credit.
I get the Russian guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kyrgyzstani Russian lieutenant pilot and astronaut Salazan Sharapov is 52.
And Dave Chappelle, American comedian, actor, Dave Chappelle. Is 43. Well, I'm so glad that Dave Chappelle is Dave Chappelle. I mean, it would have been horrible if Dave Chappelle was actually like Lindsay Lohan, you know?
Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, we're not going
Lohan
there again.
Style.
Lohan.
And Kes from Star Trek Voyager, actress and producer, Jennifer Lean is 42.
Let's go to the listener birthday calendar before the music runs out for the week of August 24th to 30th. August 24th, we have three birthdays. Kira Fiore, that's Crazy Joe, and Christine's daughter.
Wow.
Ann Stringer and Rick Stringer, formerly Variant Frequencies, are also on the 24th. David Grizzly Smith from Grizzly Growls Podcast is on the 25th. The 26th is SF Edwards. I did steal some of these from Facebook as well as our birthday calendar, so ha ha!
Chuck's forgotten iPod.
Apparently, I had a forgotten iPod that was born on the 27th. I think
that must have been one painful birth.
I think I have a death in there too about one of my iPods. Yeah. Maximilian Bjorsten from Stockholm, Sweden, and I apologize, my Swedish is terrible. Bork, bork, bork. Is on the 30th. Tim Downing on the 31st, and Russell Emmanuel.
Hey, of Occupants
fame,
our
among others
friend is. Also has a birthday on the 31st. So look at that. After rewinding a couple of times, we got the music right. That's the way it was on this day in tech history for the 24th. Cha-cha-cha. If you want to be on the birthday calendar, go to the chuckchat.com/wiki and put your name down. We would love to hear from you, give you a shout out at the appropriate time. Or if you're a friend of mine and your security doesn't crank down your birthday, I'm going to call you out.
Yeah. At least you don't forget your birthdays on your calendar like we did this week.
Oops.
Oops. We had to put a special.
Again.
had to put a special announcement in the show notes.
Oh. Oh, we have some news coming up.
News. Good news, everyone.
Bad news, fancy men.
Well, actually, it's not bad news.
This
it's just
bad news.
I don't know. I picked the wrong. You want to try a different one?
Good news, everyone.
These guys are getting into it now.
What?
You know, my clips. I got to find new ones.
Access denied.
According to Airbus, a flying car reality is just around the corner.
Oh, I've been seeing a lot of YouTube videos on
which
this.
Which corner? Because I'd like to turn that corner and go find this flying car.
Yeah.
The flying car is just one of a group of futuristic. What's that?
What?
I said there's a lot of corners I'd like to turn right now.
Yeah.
The show has turned the corner or jumped the shark. The flying car is just one of a group of futuristic technologies that are like science's white whales. Arrgh. If my chest had been a cannon, along with the jetpacks and a machine that can record our dreams. Is that just me? Plenty of startups have tested their own versions, and now one major company says that the future will be here sooner than you think. According to an article published in Airbus's group's corporate magazine, we could soon be seeing those flying cars that we've been promised since the Jetsons.
That's what I keep hearing, but I don't know.
Well, Avery Brooks wasn't too happy about it on that commercial either. A3, the company's innovation group located in Silicon Valley, said it's working on a project called Valhalla. Isn't that where the Vikings go to die?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Valhalla. He just agrees and move on.
Yep.
That's the Valhalla theme.
Jeez, Keith, that's scary how fast you had that ready.
It's just there.
You'd think we scripted this whole show.
Never.
Never.
I don't even know where I was. Stemming from the Sanskrit word that means that which carries. We weren't even close. They called us out right in the article. The vehicle being developed under the title City Airbus, cleverly named, would have, quote, multiple propellers and also resemble a small drone in its design. It would be an alternative to regular land-bound taxis and would cost just as much. The company apparently has been working on it since February this year and hopes to test its first prototypes by the end of 2017.
It looks just weird. Really?
It does look kind of weird.
Yeah.
Would you take a ride in it?
Hell no.
Not the first time.
No, not the first time.
We have pretty well structured highways and road systems and lines on the roads. How do we govern the traffic in the air above the cities?
Well, that's what air traffic controllers are for. But see, now you've got this.
Then you add that whole new layer.
It's a whole new layer of government in order to be able to regulate traffic, you know, to be able to handle both land and air traffic unless that you, all of a sudden you come up with a means by which it can then be handed off, the responsibility, depending on what are you doing? Are you driving on the road? Are you flying in the air? I mean, there could be a handoff process so that you don't have to add another layer of bureaucracy to this.
It becomes air rage then.
Yeah.
Exterminate!
Did he say something?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Good. Yeah.
Did you see him?
Actually, to be honest with you, I see way too much chaos.
Yeah, I see a lot of chaos in the beginning until finally you get some government agencies that are going to come right in and then try to put some organization to it. But until then, it's going to be mayhem. Also, keep in fact that even with experimental airplanes that come out, there's been way too many accidents that have happened those until finally someone wises up and says, oh, well, no wonder these things keep crashing. You need to move like your fuel gauge, you know, or your additional fuel tank from here to over to here so that people don't, you know, nosedive their planes into the ground or something like that.
Well, it worked really well on Coruscant, so I'm convinced this will work for us, too.
Everything's queued up.
YouTube's just their little digital rights meter is going, what was that?
Yeah.
So I only played as much as I did.
Like half a second.
What was that?
Craig, you're a coder. Would you like this next story?
Sure. I'll take the next one. Let me pull it right off.
Of course.
All right. So it can be pretty expensive to attend coding boot camps, even if you make a decently comfortable living. The U.S. Department of Education is looking to change this, launching a new initiative that would help eligible low-income students pay for them using federal financial aid. Okay. The Educational Quality Through Innovation Partnership, EQIP, is the acronym.
I wonder how long they thought about that.
Exactly.
I'm sure they spent like $1 million of taxpayer money just coming up with that name.
Oh my God.
Let's just figure out a keyword. What's a keyword we can use?
Quail.
Yeah, cool.
Quebec.
Yeah. So the initiative will allow students to apply for financial aid to one of eight different coding boot camps, in addition to online and employer provided programs. The eight programs are scattered throughout the country, including partnerships between Epiquitous and Merrill Hurt. Why can't they find people that is easy to pronounce?
Find pronounceable universities.
What happened to MIT?
There you go. I can't even spell MIT.
So Maker Square and the University of Texas Austin and Sunny Empire College, which these are people I've never heard of.
SUNY.
And the
SUNY. Actually, it is SUNY.
Oh, SUNY. Is that what I said?
Yeah, because there's only one N.
I gotcha.
Like Sony.
Yeah.
I thought that's the way it's said.
I thought this next one said the
State University of New York.
the Flatiron.
Flat iron.
Flatiron.
The Flatiron.
Well, that sounds like another thing that needs Proxy Craig for treatment.
Do you have Flatiron?
Oh, well. Anyway, they can, let's see. While these programs are good alternatives to these looking to those looking to expand their skills in the tech sector, they can also cost a pretty penny, up to $11,000 in some cases, which begs the need for financial aid in the first place. Now, wait a minute.
You're doing a boot camp this week. How much are you getting?
Zero. I'm getting paid like
a part of your day job.
Yeah, but listen, actually, any of the coding skills that I've gleaned, I got from the internet and just by doing.
Yeah, but there's no certification behind it. If you went to a coding boot camp, odds are you're going to be prepped already or even take the test and get certified as the output of that.
And that would help you, especially when job placement.
Yes.
And how many certifications have gotten you a job?
But they didn't have certifications when I got my job.
Yeah, there was no certifications weren't required back then. Now they're reaching a point where they are now.
Yeah, I've got a nephew who's going through college right now, and they're a big thing. You want those certifications because it gives you a competitive edge over somebody else, maybe even with a better GPA.
Well, I'm curious what certifications are we talking about?
Oh, MCSE, CNA. Not CNA.
Wow. CNA?
I mean, no. What's the
certified
Cisco
nursing assistant?
Nursing assistant.
Yeah, because you have to know how to treat that Iserol.
Cisco certified network. CCNA. That's what it was.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know. For a while there, and I've talked about this before, I started working on my Microsoft certifications years ago, and then they started on the radio even. They had these boot camps that would get you certified within 3 weeks or whatever it was.
Right.
And I'm like, kind of saturated I didn't worry about they ran so many people through those boot camps, I think it saturated to a point where it wasn't worth anything much anymore. I don't know about nowadays if it's kind of
I'd say it's terrifically worth something, even if it's saturated, because now you have even more reason to be competitive. You got to remember, you're competing with people in China and India and Malaysia and Puerto Rico. I mean, this isn't just you and 30 other people in the same room getting that certification.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I think, how about this? If the listener, if you've gotten a job because of certification or a certification helped you, let us know, because I'm curious.
Good question. I mean, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Call us on the listener line. What's the new number, Craig?
It is
707-530-chat. That's 707-530-2428. We're slowly.
Can you get your sister to re-record that?
We're slowly. Yeah. Oh.
Slowly learning.
Yeah, we got to get. Oh, I should have done that when I saw her last month, a few weeks ago. Darn it.
Get your sister to do another.
Yeah.
Never say Technorama instead of Technorama.
It's another one of my favorite drugs. Darn it all.
Darn it all.
She's not listening.
You can patent that thing.
Next story. Ben, I'm assigning this one to you.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Is it this one that I'm looking at right now?
Yes.
Well, NASA is dead set on leaving low Earth orbit to go to the moon, Mars, and farther destinations. That means extending the space station's funding beyond 2024 out of the question.
Let's go to Uranus.
Yeah.
Five is right out.
Go to who? No, I'm not answering that. Now, NASA Deputy Associate Administrator Bill Hill.
Bill Hill.
He couldn't have gone with William, could he?
No. No. Has revealed that what the agency wants to do with the ISS once astronauts move out. Instead of deorbiting it and sinking it into the ocean or breaking it apart to sell piece by piece, it apparently wants to hand the spacecraft over to a private corporation.
I'm good with that.
According to TechCrunch, Hill said during the Journey to Mars event, NASA's trying to develop economic development in low Earth orbit. Ultimately, our desire is to hand the space station over to either a commercial entity or some other commercial capability so that research can continue in low Earth orbit.
Does that include the North Koreans?
Warning, warning.
Yeah, agreed.
Yes. Well, the agency did say in the past that it plans to leave the low Earth orbit, or LEO, in the hands of private space corporations, but had originally envisioned them building their own smaller successor to the ISS. Hill didn't explain things in detail. He also didn't confirm whether NASA's partners agencies share its desire to leave the ISS to the private sector, but it's going to be tough renting out the station or selling it for how much it's actually worth. The ISS is an international collaboration between NASA, the Roscosmos, which is Russia, JAXA, Japan, ESA, Europe, and CSA, Canada. And they've all been sinking billions into its yearly maintenance and operations.
And it'll be rented out
really
like an apartment.
Can you really bear down that billions again?
Billions.
They're going to rent it out like a low rent apartment in Detroit.
Yeah.
Soon
low rent.
Low rent. It's going to just have cardboard boxes in the hallway. People sleeping.
It's going to have squatters in space.
Right.
Squatters in space.
Like a new TV show.
Space squatters. That doesn't sound good at all.
Oh dear. That sounds just downright.
Space squatters.
Squat in space.
We are just.
I got a new idea for a movie. That's space squatters.
Yep. Could be done. One more news story, and then we're going to take a quick break. Uber's first self-driving fleet arrives in Pittsburgh this month.
Between self-driving fleets and flying cars, the world will never be the same.
The future is here.
We'll look at the space station now, and since I was screwing that up.
So that's what the self-driving car looks like.
Yeah.
That's the flying car.
That's the flying car.
Yeah, that's the flying car.
That's the flying self-driving, or the self-flying car.
I should play Tom Smith's flying car song. Yeah. That's all.
There you go.
Near the end of 2014, Uber co-founder and chief executive officer Travis Kalanick flew to Pittsburgh on a mission to hire dozens of the world's experts in autonomous vehicles. Autonomous. The city is home to Carnegie Mellon University's robotics department, which has produced many of the biggest names in the newly hot field. Sebastian Thrun, the creator of Google's self-driving car project, spent 7 years researching autonomous robots at CMU, and the project's former director, Chris Urmson, was a CMU grad student.
I can just hear it now.
Okay, now, raise your hands if you plan on jumping in an Uber self-driving car.
No.
Nope.
Not right away. Not until it's a proven technology.
Ben? What is that, Keith? Hey, to quote Keith, not the first.
Yeah, not the first.
Can you see me? Can you see me now?
Now the whole point of Uber was to lower your cost of a ride from a standard traditional taxi, right?
Right. So they're going to do self-driving cars.
Who owns the cars?
Uber.
Okay,
but normally, if you're an Uber driver, you're using your own vehicle,
right? Yep. And you're getting some of that cash, so you're using it as sort of a self-employment thing,
right?
So now Uber's going to own this, and
they're going to have their own fleet of cars,
and they're going to put their own employees out of
work.
Business.
Yep,
that's a nice strategy.
You're cutting out the middleman. That's the deal.
Hey, between Uber self-driving cars and McDonald's automated counters, The future is here.
We have an article in the Geek Library that's going to come up and point out if your job is in danger. But we're going to come back to that in just a little bit. Stick around because, as I mentioned, we've got that story. We've got, quite a few photos. Not so much on the video stream or anywhere else, but you can go to them through the link. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We're more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
Hi, this is Brianna White. I play Annie Curtis in Occupants, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Oh,
I've stunned them.
When did you get that? Comic-Con?
Yeah.
How did we not get a bumper from her?
I'm just standing there on the second showing. You know, we went to two, right?
Yeah.
Well, you guys said, and after the second one, we were standing around doing the picture thing with the poster again. And I said, Annie, can I get an ID real quick?
Oh, what's wrong with us? She was in our studio and we didn't get a bumper.
Yeah.
Did you get one? Hey. You got one from Russ, though.
We've got one from Russ.
Yeah, but we got that Wait before Comic-Con.
Wait a minute. You're talking about professionals here. We know what we're doing.
Yeah.
I'm not bitter. Obviously, you won a Parsec Award.
Yeah. So to quote,
you're professionals.
So to quote the movie Ferris Bueller, professional what?
There's a Parsec Award.
Yeah. Notice he's got the lower third blocking out the title.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh boy. Anyway.
Hey, by the way, I thought about something. Imagine, I'm going back to the last story just for a moment, please. What if you were out partying with your friends, you call an Uber, and a car comes, you jump in, and you start going down the road, and you notice there's nobody in there after you've been drinking heavily? Wouldn't that freak you out a little bit?
Oh, there's no one in the car!
Not unless they all look like Johnny Cab.
I was just going to say, if I came up with an Uber...
Hi, where are you going today?
Welcome to Johnny Cab.
Yeah.
That would be a must in my organization.
Yes.
All right, we have Hacks and Strange Stories. Craig, what'd you find us? Or did I find this? I don't remember. Fine.
Actually, this is from my friend Mark. This is photos from the Homebrew CPUs, IBM mainframes, amazing replicas. Anyway, if you flip through, there's a whole gallery here.
Yeah.
With some pretty cool stuff. But the one that I was asked to point out, which is pretty cool, is a solid state Monopoly game.
That's what it looked like, but I wasn't sure what it was.
And what they built this out of is pretty interesting. This left many attendees speechless. It's a homemade Monopoly game with status LEDs atop every property.
Wow.
Well, we had a Monopoly tie-in. How's that?
How about that?
Texas Instruments calculators to control your turn. I wonder if you have to enter them in reverse Polish notation or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And central processing handled by an IMSI 8080, originally built in 1978. The owner polished it up for this year's show.
Which looks great. I think it looks fantastic.
That is pretty cool. I like that because you could do houses, hotels, over every property.
They need to make mass market that. It would completely revolutionize Monopoly and bring it into the 21st century.
Pretty cool, everybody. I'm wondering, what are the little cards next to it? Is that like the formulas for entering what you want to roll? And
there's it may be.
Every player has sort of a playing card.
Yeah. I want to. You know what? I'm almost tempted to track this down and see if I can find out more about it.
You want to interview him?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe
put that on our to-do list. That's two we'll have in the queue.
So, hey, by the way, anyway, just flipping through some of the other pictures. I was a Commodore 64 doing a demonstrative video processing.
Yeah, I saw some of that. It looked really, really crappy video.
Yeah. I didn't say it was great, but you have to admit that's pretty cool to come off of that.
Didn't
that
somebody else already do that though? They like ported a Netflix player to a really old computer and it was like 4-bit color.
I remember we covered that.
Yeah, we talked about
horrible.
That.
Yeah.
It was only what because he could.
Exactly.
I want the Netflix ASCII converter.
ASCII converter.
Yeah.
There are a lot of old computers in here. I encourage you to go through the link in the show notes.
Wow, I feel like I'm reliving my childhood.
Wait a minute. Hey.
Hey.
Adventure was among the earliest text adventure games in the computers. This exhibitor demonstrated on IBM PC 5150. I call shenanigans because the 5150 never had half-height floppy drives.
Good point.
They doctored this thing. It is a 5150 keyboard.
Where's it at?
It's in the gallery. It's image number 16.
Ready to board Star Tours.
That was my phone.
Get on the tram to Terminal B. Okay.
Okay.
So, well, that took the steam out of that story, didn't it?
Way to go, Chuck.
Done, and shout out to the chat room. We have you and me and Mad Marv and Tim Elliott and Weber. We haven't seen Weber in a long time. We do this show live every Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern time. Watch for the announcements on Facebook and Twitter. You can join us live by going to chuckchat.com. Go to the Technorama page. Click the big old webcam button. Watch us now and see us there. Say hi, wave, we'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of the show. Also want to thank our patrons. We have our special patron music. You know, now when I hear this song, I think of it played on 64 floppy drives.
Oh, yes.
Thinking of butt hit for some reason.
Special, huge special thank you to Kyle Nishioka, Mike Wills, Steve Therian, Saturday Morning Media, a.k.a. Grant Pachoco. Is he coming to Dragon Con this year?
I hope. He may not, but I hope so.
He hasn't been there in a long time. I miss seeing him on a regular basis. Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Ben Vaughn, Dennis Patnod, Nick St. Gabriel, and Amy Bowen. And I know Amy is going. She's going to be a Jedi, hopefully marching in the parade right in front of us as we finish up the parade again this year. You're in Dragon Con. We want to see you at the Technorama Comedy Forecast live show Friday night, 5:30 p.m., Hilton Room 202, and then join us for the after party at the bottom of the escalator down there, where we wrap
be
up
there, our... a B-square.
There's some nerd reference in there that can be better than a square.
Wait, square root?
What's the technical term for a square? Like an equal... a quadrangle?
Quadrangle.
Yeah, an equal... quadrangle. Quadrangle sounds like another prescription you should take. Yeah.
I'm going to call out Ben and Keith. When are y'all coming to Dragon Con?
In harmony, no less.
It gets kind of tough because the scheduling of it usually conflicts with other stuff.
Oh, that's right. You've got Horrible Imaginings Film Festival.
We have two things going on this year in September that are draining the budget.
Yeah. We would like to.
Yeah.
Hey, have y'all ever been?
No, maybe if we actually become a finalist in the... Oh, I'm sorry. Did I bring that up? I'm not bitter.
That'll leave a mark.
No, it's just...
Hey, you won't now.
I think we didn't understand the categories and what we were supposed to do.
For what it's worth, I thought you were one of the best in the category anyway. You got high marks on my vote.
Well, the thing is, for the category that I chose, our segments were not appropriate, I don't think.
It was Behind the Fiction, wasn't it? Or was it news?
No, it was news or podcast general or team general.
It's so general?
Yeah. I think it might have been.
But there was less of us, and it was more about the people we were talking to.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was more.
We think that's what screwed us over.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. It doesn't matter.
All right. You there's know. Always next year.
Yeah.
We keep going on and doing what we're doing.
We were a finalist in 2007 and took us till 4 more years to get the award.
And we've been milking it ever since.
Exactly.
Now we just hand them out. Oh, we're hosting this year, by the way. Oh.
Yeah.
Craig and I were brainstorming this afternoon exactly what does that mean and how are we going to execute on that idea.
I also heard that Crazy Joe's going to be announcing awards. What he told something. Me.
Is he a presenter?
He's a presenter.
Yeah.
Hot dang, because...
Cool. All right.
We're going to have to figure out where to slot him in, unless somebody already gave him an assignment, and then we'll figure that out, too. All right. Well, let's do the media corner.
We'll slot it in when everybody leaves. He can go ahead and do his stuff.
And things.
Welcome to Blockhead Video. Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things? Over here.
I heard that.
Where's the media corner?
I heard that.
I thought there was a media corner.
Oh, there is. It's down below on the the last layer, or second to last layer. The audio layer is the last one. In our media corner.
Now this is news.
Well, Clinton says he heard this before. William Shatner apologizes for Star Trek V.
Oh, he needs to do more than apologize.
He needs to refund some money.
Self-flagellation. Yes.
Oh dear.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. There's proxy Craig for that.
Yeah. What? Wait a minute. Shut up!
You might have flatter on.
Or Izerol. You could treat both.
If we don't have a malady, we have a drug for it on this show. Yeah. Better Late Than Never, posted August 19, 2016 on EW.com. Reality shows aren't just two tan housewives, whatever.
What? Two tan.
I was looking at it as a tauntaun.
Oh, and two tauntaun.
Two tauntaun.
So what are you saying about those women? Are you equating them to like tauntauns or something?
A two-ton tauntaun.
A two-ton tauntaun.
Wearing a tutu.
What are you?
We broke Craig.
I know. Yeah, I'm broken, all right.
On NBC's comedy/travel/reality series Better Late Than Never, debuting August 23rd at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, William Shatner, Henry Winkler, George Foreman, and Terry Bradshaw take Asia by AARP-approved storm with comedian Jeff Dye. Here in the latest installment of Watch This/Sorry About That, we allow Shatner and Winkler, who also serves as an executive producer of Better, to sell you on the series if they apologize for a dubious project on their lengthy resumes. Watch this, Better Late Than Never. William Shatner. Imagine four disparate and desperate guys stumbling through Asia in various degrees of consciousness. Oh, kind of sounds like Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah.
And then imagine all of us talking to each other, against each other, and over each other. It made for a lot of fun.
I know, that sounds like our Flagstaff trip.
That's right.
Where's the part about the apology? Oh, sorry about that. Okay. Shatner starred and directed the sci-fi franchise fifth feature film, which entangles the crew of the Enterprise with Spock's zealot brother and his search for God.
And who even knew he had a brother?
He'd like to talk to you about the Final Frontier, specifically the ending. Shatner says, I got the chance to direct several million-dollar movies, Star Trek V, and did not get the help I needed in allocating my budget. He blames it on a budget thing. Oh. So when it came to shooting the ending, needing a good villain and lots of computer graphics for 1989, was it?
Yeah,
I had run out of money. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I had to use footage that I had already shot. And spit on it a lot. Must have been like shoe polish. I wanted to give the audience earth-breaking granite monsters spewing rocks and fire. Instead, I had a few pebbles in my hand and threw them at the camera.
And that's his apology?
It was a budget issue.
A budget issue? I mean, I admit, graphically, it was a horrible piece of garbage, but hey, how about apologizing for the stupid story?
Yeah, it was garbage.
They could have made Cybok into such a villain, but now he kind of petered out and looked more like a cult leader.
Actually, yeah. You know what I thought the coolest thing about that movie was? The first, 5 or 10 minutes when they're in the, they're in the desert area. And
on Nimbus Cybok 3.
Nimbus.
Yeah, I feel your pain. The whole scene after that, it fell apart. I was like, what's crap?
And we had to watch it twice to do a Mystery Science Theater version of it because Craig forgot my microphone on the first one.
What's Matt at Dad? Episode 40.
What? Did we get an alert on the screen?
Yeah.
That's Dave Slusher's podcast with Michael Butler. Matt at Dad. Are they recording? It's not Monday night.
One of our dog days, guys.
It was a reminder.
Two of our dog days, guys. All right, Craig, this one's yours because it's like 800 miles long.
Holy moly.
I'm not reading the whole thing, but tell me about Deep Space Nine in 82 and a half hours.
Okay, so this guy wrote this blog post, and I'm going to leave it to the listener to go and read through it. But he wrote down what he thought the best parts of Deep Space Nine was, along with a viewer's guide at the bottom that has a list of the episodes that he thinks that everybody should watch that really sum up and encapsulate the season. He also, I want to say if I got a link for it. If I don't, I'll put it in the show notes. He also did one for Star Trek The Next Generation, which is really good too. And if you read through it, you can see where he highlighted the good parts that really give you, like I said, the encapsulation about the whole thing.
I like the pictures.
Does he highlight the naughty parts?
Huh?
Never mind.
Naughty parts?
Yeah, that joke fell flat.
Okay.
Access denied.
Yeah, so I'll post the TNG one in here too. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm somebody who I like Deep Space Nine, but I never really watched it faithfully like I did, the Next Generation or even some of their stuff.
We were talking about that the other day. That it took several years, almost what season 3 or 4.
It was about season
DS9.
About season 4 is when Star Trek Deep Space Nine started to get really good, but it was the 5th year when they really introduced the Klingons and Michael Dorn became a regular character on the show. That it just really took off and became amazing.
It had more continuity, overarching themes than most people.
Yeah, that was the first series to actually really build on story arcs.
Well, the Jem'Hadar, was it the Jem'Hadar?
The Dominion.
The Dominion was mentioned in the first season.
In the very first season that game episode, Find a Way Home.
Dabo?
These aliens from the they come over with and they have a game. It's like
First
Find Your Way Home.
Chap.
It's like Find Your Way Home or something like that. On Your Way Home, the title was something like that. That's when we first hear about the Dominion. It's like, wow. I mean, there was some really good building going on there.
And the other thing that I didn't realize until I was listening to Nandi Nuchas, who we played her promo earlier, she had mentioned that after watching again, it was blatantly obvious that Garak was coming on to Bashir.
Yes.
At first, I thought he was just like playing this coy spy thing. And
no, but when it a second time, he's really coming on to him.
Yeah. And, he was fascinated by him.
Yes.
Bashir is clueless, like most of us were.
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually thinking about investing the time and going back to Deep Space Nine because I honestly didn't watch it faithfully like I did the other stuff.
It's a very, it's very strong series. And I think it's just been remastered for Blu-ray now.
Are the remastered ones, are the high-def ones Netflix?
Yeah, I don't know if it's on, if Netflix has the remastered version, but I believe it has been, or I've seen an announcement that it's been remastered for Blu-ray, so it's in high-def now. So it's definitely worth getting.
Well, by the way, you know, you mentioned it took a few seasons to get into it.
Well, they all needed at least three years to get going.
About three. Hey, I always say that TNG didn't really get good until they got collars.
Well, that rules out the first season.
Yeah, about
three. I will dispute that, but oh well.
I think there was some good stuff in the early TNG. But
there was
it was the second half of year two
that it started to get good. But yeah, I think everybody agrees that third season was the greatest.
Polanski back. And got the doctor back. Yeah,
Dr. Crusher?
Speaking of, Dinah Muldauer was 82.
Yeah, Dinah Muldauer just had her birthday.
Yesterday or day before?
Yeah.
Oh.
82.
Didn't land
84?
On a Wednesday, so I missed it.
Yeah.
I think I almost unplugged something here.
Well, as long as it's not the main machine.
And the lights are still on, so you didn't actually say we're still going, I guess.
I can still hear myself.
We had to reboot the lighting system at church today.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, we've got this little LCD panel that says, you know, bring this screen up and that one down. And the facilities guy comes around and he goes, hey, can you bring down number 2? Not individually, because they're all programmed on macros.
They're all wired together.
Yeah. So he starts poking at the screen while I'm trying to...
No!
No!
Suddenly it looks like it's playing Tetris with itself. or the Matrix. You know, some characters were falling down the screen.
Oh, geez.
Well, at least the lighting on the projector screen is off so people can see the videos I have to play. He says, well, between services, I'll reboot the thing. And, you know, there's nobody in the church because people are coming and going out. And he reboots it. All the lights go off for second. Come back on. Then it happens again. Well, my screen got fixed. Yeah. He says, I don't know what I do around here. I just reboot things and they get fixed.
Poke, touch, break.
Well, it was in a seriously confused state. But that fixed it. All right. Our last story today. 6 very clear signs that your job is due to be automated. I'm not going to read through all of these. I'll just read you the
when
highlights.
When you show up for work and there's a robot in your seat.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm out.
That's when you hear this one.
Everyone, people,
you had your chance, meatbag.
Bad news, everyone.
I like the sound of that one. I It involves little physical contact or manipulation of things. If your job involves little physical contact or manipulation of things, you could be replaced by a robot. It involves answering data-dependent questions. I'm thinking that sounds like my job because I'm in sales.
Ditto.
SQL query. Hey, you can be replaced by a SQL query, Chuck.
Yeah.
Find all customers where budget is greater than zero. IT involves, I keep reading it. It's not IT.
It involves
quantitative analysis, which sales does. I'm getting worried here.
Hey, Excel. Yeah.
That's what my job involves.
Wait a minute. So we can replace you with a SQL query that goes to Excel and just, okay.
Yeah, somebody has to program those queries.
Consistent performance is critical to your role.
Sounds like my job.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like any job, really.
Yeah. Hey.
Good thing that's not for me. All right.
You don't have to have consistent performance. It has to be consistently better than the last quarter.
That's right.
It involves the creation of data. I almost read this as database narratives. Data-based narratives.
Database nerds.
That's, I tell stories to sell things. This is Tim. Tim wants to get something from that other thing. This is what Tim needs to do. Look how easy it is for Tim.
No, I kind of tell stories in order to train other people in their jobs. So
yeah. Mm. And number six, there are well-defined rules for performing the work.
Oh, that's definitely my job.
That's out for me. I'm safe for now. I have no rules. The first rule is there is no rules.
Second. Well, I'm doomed.
So what do you want to change your career path to now, Ben? Yeah,
retired. Underwater basket weaving, maybe?
Professional podcaster.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See how that works. Because
that's lucrative.
Yeah. We still haven't made more than $2 yet. Our $2 is still sitting at Amazon in their bank account.
Because they won't give it to us.
You have to make more than $3 for them to give you any credit.
Actually, yep. 10.
You have
not. It's 10 now?
Yes, you have 10. Not made enough money yet for us to pay you. I get those every month.
Yep.
The what? Amazon affiliate program.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. That takes us to the end of the stories. Our question this week, if you could have a conversation with any author, either living or dead, who would it be?
Mm.
Or is it whom would it be?
Whom? With whom would you speak?
Author. Past. Present.
Future. I think it's a toss up between Clark and Niven.
Oh.
Hey, by the way, I had to reword that question properly, because I knew if I said any author, if you could have dinner with any author living or dead, I knew people would go, I'll take the living one.
Oh, jeez.
So,
yeah, because it's not fun to have dinner with a dead one.
No, they stink, you know.
Unless it's Soylent Green.
I would have dinner with Douglas Adams. That would be mine.
Or you could have dinner like Hannibal Lecter. I'm having an old friend for dinner.
For dinner, yeah.
Having an old author for dinner.
Call us on the listener line if you've got your thoughts. 707-530-2428. 707-530-CHAT. We want to hear what author you would be interested in having a conversation with. Email us, technorama@chuckchat.com, like Dean did earlier in the show. And you can find us on the Facebook and the Twitter and the everything else.
The Twitters.
Just go to the website and you'll find it. Don't forget, this is the last show before Dragon Con, 5:30 Friday, Hilton Room 202, Comedy Forecast and Technorama. Oh, my formula here says Comedy Forecast plus Technorama equals hilarity. I'm sure it will.
What kind of equation's that?
What do you mean?
It's new math.
New math. Okay.
Craig's thinking programmatically, and he wants the assignment on the left. Right?
That's right.
Where's my out music? Here we go.
Out music.
So, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Our pleasure.
Where can they find you?
At tggeeks.com.
Yay!
469-844-3357. That's our listener feedback line.
You can't sneak that in on my show.
He just did.
Wow. Sneaky.
See, because you don't have a dog that has your number on it here.
We need a dog?
Yeah.
A dog.
Little
a
dog?
That little dog in the window.
Oh, okay.
In the corner of the window.
I think I'm going to have to hang a banner on Todd or something. A sandwich board on his back.
sandwich before.
Right. Thank you, listeners. Thank you for the chat room. Thank you, everybody. And I look forward to seeing you in Hotlanta, Georgia, Labor Day weekend, live. Yeah. We will have prizes again. Buzzword bingo. Hey,
and we'll let you in for free.
Give me a 101.
101.